Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You podcast, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including, you know, TV shows, comic books, deck building games, toys, mobile apps, statues, apparently, just everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me is...
Kevin.
And today is going to be a fun one. We're going to get to talk about a couple of things that have popped up and get to review a few others. But as always, before we get started, again, we're going to stress, underline, put in bold text. This podcast stands in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. I know this isn't really on a lot of popular media, and a lot of people are calling that out. You know, it's kind of faded from a lot of people's forefront, but this is a very important issue that still needs to be talked about, that change still needs to be implemented in. We're not done fighting, even though a certain orange individual may be leaving the office come January. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done. It still needs to be said. It still needs to be acknowledged. Change still needs to be implemented. So as always, we encourage our listeners to find a way that you can help out. Whether that's joining in a protest, whether that's signing a petition, whether that's donating money where you can, or even just donating time, find a way that you can help out and uplift Black voices to make sure that people understand that Black lives matter. Because as we always say each episode, you know, all lives can't matter until Black lives matter. So please help out where you can. So with that said, we'll kind of jump into today's topics. And kind of first, we'll go around with like the review kind of section. And so this week on Beast Morphers, the episode was the Silva Switch. This was a fun one. I was kind of pleasantly surprised with this one. Kevin, what did you think of it?
I agree. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, it was an interesting episode, and I think it had a really good emotional core to it. So, you know, spoiler territory if you haven't watched it yet, of course. But the Silva Switch involves Nate and Steel switching bodies. I mean, kind of there in the title. Yeah. But also, I almost called him Enter. Blaze, Robo Blaze, powering himself up and fighting against the Rangers. So he's trying to prove his worth. What did you think? And then I'll share my thoughts.
I thought it was a really strong episode. Obviously, I think this one kind of breaks the format of the Power Rangers, because the like monster really wasn't important. There was a Robotron that was involved, and there was a Gigatron, because, you know, gotta have a Megazord fight. But I mean, the big crux of the episode was the Nate and Silva story, and then, like you said, the Robo Blaze kind of stepping up. They felt kind of like two separate episodes that got shoved together in the fact that, like, neither one really was the A-plot. They were kind of both the same, kind of given both the same weight. I did enjoy kind of the, you know, Abraham getting to play Steel in Nate's body. I thought that was really well done. And I do think Power Rangers surprisingly does, like, dubbing over actors' mouths very well, which, I mean, isn't surprising, I guess, when that's half the show normally. It's just dubbing. But it's always, like, interesting and fascinating to me that they can do it so well. It's not perfect by any means, but it's really well done, and I loved there's a musical number in this.
Yes.
It is a full-on like dance number, you know, goes on for quite a bit. The costume changes, it was really nice, and I think you could tell the cast had a lot of fun with that.
Oh yeah, they looked extremely happy.
And I mean, like, because Colby, is he a dancer like Nico was, or?
I don't think so. No, okay. I've never heard, at least.
Okay, for some reason, I just want to throw them all in like musical theater type thing, but they all did really well. They all look like they had a lot of fun. There's a sequence when they're in like 1950s kind of style outfits, and all of the girls looked amazing.
Yeah, they did.
They were very cute. Like, I loved Zoe's little yellow dress and the way they styled her hair. It was very cute. And then just on the villain side, I thought, you know, so I mean, you know, Roxy got her upgrade a couple episodes ago, and so now, like, the Robo Blaze character's kind of been feeling shafted in a weird way, and he's been wanting to kind of step up as well. And so they give him an upgrade, air quotes, of his own. I think, you know, it wasn't the strongest storyline, but I think both Colby and Liara do so well with those characters that it's interesting to watch them anytime they're on screen together, especially when they're confrontational. So I think they upgrade that story just by being good and being able to play off each other so well. But overall, I really thought this was a good episode. I really enjoyed it. I can definitely find worse episodes in other seasons.
Yeah, I knew the musical number was coming, but I wasn't prepared for it. Like, I just was like, what?
It's mildly awkward, and like I won't lie, like
Yeah,
part of it
I
I had to
could.
like cover my face, but it was also like it was
Yeah.
cute.
Yeah. Once I saw just how much fun the cast was having, like I was like, okay, this is kind of cute. But what threw me off is when they did do the costume changes, and I was just like, and then at the end of the musical number, it actually happened minus the costume changes. Like they actually did all sing and dance, and I'm like, it, I guess because I watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it felt weird to me because I was like, wait, it wasn't a dream? Okay, cool. But it was cute. It was fun. I think it served its job well. And Abraham ate that up. Like he was living for it, for the choreography and everything. I mean, everyone else did too, but like it looked like he was having the most fun as like the centerpiece of it. So, and then the Roboblades fight was really fun too. It was kind of nice seeing him actually survive for more than a minute in a battle. Because they tend to just blast him and he blows up. But it was also funny because I'm not sure if you noticed it, but like whenever he like jumped into shot and like morphed in front of the Robotron, and like they made a big deal about it. Like he was like it was kind of like they were flashing on him a lot. I looked into it and I didn't realize it, but that was actually the footage from when his counterpart in GoBusters got that form. So that's why there was such an emphasis on that. So
Okay, that makes a bit more sense, because it was like we're showing it off, and I was like, what's different about this costume? Nothing.
In the original GoBusters footage, that is when Enter gains his Enter Unite form. And so he beats the Rangers down, of course, and when the monster gets a power up, they beat them down. So
I will say that costume, that monster suit, is very cool. Like the little shoulder cape does so much in just like in the choreography and the way it's able to be used. It is very good.
It just, I'm gonna be honest though, it always throws me off because like it, I Roboblaze is technically Blaze Avatar, but just reincarnated, but it also throws me off all the time because like Roboroxy has like the same outfit, different colors, but his is diff so different. So I know it's because of the footage, but it always kind of throws me off because like he
There
pulled
could have
out.
been an explanation of like what happened in that, and just like his is like a corrupted ranger form kind of thing would have been interesting had they done that somehow.
Fine. I mean it works out.
Or like they could have done a thing where like his DNA had to be resequenced somehow with a different animal, because like originally like the Avatar Blaze was like corrupted cheetah DNA, right? Was the line. That would have been interesting. But yeah, no. That being said, talking about the fights, I actually liked the Unmorph fight at the beginning a lot.
It was good. It was really good.
And I'm surprised like Beast Morphers, it feels like, does more Unmorph fights than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it has.
So it's been really nice. And I do, sorry to interrupt your thoughts. Is there
Oh
anything
no,
else?
you're good. You're good. No, yeah, it was overall it was a good episode. It definitely, I think what I really enjoyed was that emotional core of Steel getting to enjoy being inside of a human body and like getting to realize what it is to be human. And I think it kind of rushed the narrative of it, but like the lesson that Abe gets of like being human and taking it for granted. They kind of rushed through that, but I think it had a really good emotional core. I think Abraham does a really good job, as always, of really bringing Nate to life and bringing that emotion to the table. So I
Definitely.
definitely think, yeah, that was definitely a highlight. It's like Abraham did a really good job in this episode, like portraying Steel, but also, portraying that emotional core of like, even when he was voicing Steel's robot form and he wasn't actually on screen, like he still did a really good job of emoting.
And what I'm kind of intrigued by is like the big kind of like button on this is like, you know, Nate is still going to try to find a way to give Steel a human body, which I'm like, are we going to get a human Steel by the end of the show? Like, obviously, like, I think we would have, like, that, I'm surprised that wouldn't have been spoiled if that it does happen, but I'm just like, what does human Steel look like? Who would you cast as that? And I'm just like, I'm mildly intrigued to see if, like, by the time we get finale, if we just get a random person that's like, this is human Steel, and I'll be like, this is a little weird.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened, so. Yeah,
this is true. This is also a series where they brought dinosaurs back to life, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we have had an android turn human before, so.
This is also true. Like, this isn't the first time.
But, see.
Yeah. But, so, moving on from Beast Morphers into comics. So, Power Rangers number 1 was released this past Wednesday. This marks the start of the new titles, the second of the new titles, in the Unlimited Power era, as they're calling it. This was written by Ryan Parrott, with art by Francesco Mortarino, with Raul Angulo on colors and Ed Dukeshire on letters. What did you think of this issue, Kevin?
Oh my gosh, I feel like it was the stronger of the two premiere issues, to be honest. Like, here's my reasoning why.
Okay.
If Mighty Morphin captures the essence of the TV show, Power Rangers captures, for me, the essence of moving beyond that. Okay. Kind of like the future. Because, of course, the issue deals heavily with Jason, Zach, and Trini trying to find out how to stop the Imperials that we met at the end of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the series. But I think for me, I really enjoyed the character moments and the character beats when they came home to Angel Grove and they got to hang out with their successors and talk with them. Like, you know, there's that really good conversation between Jason and Rocky about, like, I'm red, but I'm not the leader. Does that make me worthless? I think I really enjoyed that, along with just the desperation and the feelings that Jason, Zach, and Trini have.
Yeah.
Like, once they found out Draken was there, once they knew he had the answers for them that Zordon didn't have, they knew they had to make a really difficult decision. And I think two of the best moments, I think, in the issue that I enjoyed was when they leave the youth center to go back to their ship and they leave the other Rangers behind. And then Zach is like, we're breaking him out, right? And they're all like, yes, obviously.
Yeah.
And like, it's one of those moments where, like, it kind of has this, like, sad emotional underscore because, like, you know, that's on their minds while they're talking to their friends and they're all making that difficult decision to betray not only their teammates, their former teammates, but also their former mentor.
Yeah.
I think the scene of breaking Draken out was really well done. The art, the coloring, everything was perfect. I think that desperation was definitely felt, especially when Alpha appeared and he was like, Rangers, I will stop you if you keep him. And of course, Draken being Draken, he's like, you gotta get your hands dirty. And he like smashes Alpha against the wall. And you can tell that they are like freaking out and they're like, we didn't want this to happen. And then they get even more freaked out when Zordon appears and he's like, I will come after you. But
it's scariest we've ever seen Zordon be, you know, for a head to tube.
Exactly. But I think that's what I really enjoy about it is like, this is showing like what happens when you do grow up and you have to move on from what you've known all your life.
Yeah.
And I think there's a strong emotional core to it. Like I was very happy while reading the issue. And I definitely think that like Mighty Morphin set up a really good, and they're both strong issues. Like I'm not saying necessarily that
my
big issue. I just, for some reason, I tended to enjoy Power Rangers a little bit more. And I think it was because of all of that like emotional weight that the issue carried.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because I think on my first read of this, I kind of bounced off of it a bit because I think I was still riding the kind of shock and awe of what we got in Mighty Morphin 1 as far as, like, you know, the reveals of Zordon's backstory, you know, the end reveal with Candace, you know, of her being Altarian, you know, that was so impactful that I came into this and this was more kind of character focused, more about their, like, you know, internal journey that it was kind of a shift that I had to make. It's not bad. Was just like, I think that first, like, read through kind of, I didn't understand what I was going to be reading, what was ahead of me. But I do find it interesting. You've hit a lot on a lot. I think in listening to interviews with Ryan, that's kind of how he's trying to approach this series. That Power Rangers will be a little more, not necessarily introspective. There will be action, but because it's a smaller cast, it literally is three Rangers, Draken, and then a robot and a tiger cat. but it's a smaller cast, so there's not as many people to juggle. There's not as many like viewpoints to bounce off of, and for the most part, Zach, Trini, and Jason are all in agreement on how to do things. They know what has to be done. But I liked as well kind of what you talked about is that emotional struggle that they have of knowing they're gonna have to defy their friends, knowing they're ha going to have to stab them in the back, but they're gonna have to release Draken. Because he's the key to them being able to solve this larger threat that because the Mighty Morphin team is stuck on Earth, they can't see the scope of. They didn't see a whole planet get destroyed. They didn't get to see the wreckage of what an Imperial can do. And you pointed this out as well. I do think a lot of the impact of this series is also, not only in the art, not only in what's being written, but I think in the coloring as well really does set this apart from Mighty Morphin. Whereas Mighty Morphin felt like a brighter, colorful kind of action movie we were watching, this one felt darker. There's a lot of shadow and light play that Raul Angulo brings to Francesco Mortarino's art. When Zordon and Jason face off, Jason is mostly in shadow. When he responds to Zordon, it's like, we're doing what we have to do. Sorry, you can't see that, and they take off.
Yeah. When he did the line of like, you've been on Earth too long to really realize this, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
geez, Jason, way to cut at somebody that literally can't leave the like confinement
right.
they're in.
Yeah. Well, and like, even though like obviously it was a print medium, like there was that sadness too, you could tell, like in that interaction between Zordon and Jason. You know, we are going to have to come after you. Like, I know, but I'm doing what to do as well. So there was a lot of sadness to that, I think. And it was, I don't know, it just something struck with me about it. And like I was grinning like a child the whole time. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I think one of the smaller character moments that was in the book, and I think you caught this too, was that it did confirm that Draken saw the Red Emissary get killed. And so he was in the Draken dimension. So now I'm wondering, like, how did he get out?
Or yeah, it'll be I think what'll be fun about this, and I think the thing a lot of people have been kind of frustrated with is like that Draken being back. But the something that Ryan said in like pretty much all interviews when he's discussed Draken is saying, the reason I was fine with bringing him back is I told them I was not writing the same character. So the Draken we're dealing with is not, the Lord and Emperor of a fallen world. This is a guy that's been broken. And that, kind of what Grace told him at the end of 55, is this what you want? Do you want to be a crazy guy talking to a necklace, or do you want to be more than what you are? So I think we're going to see that an interesting journey with him as well, especially with this group of three people who like he tortured and, drove to the
Killed.
brink. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some really interesting character dynamics between the four of them. And I definitely like, because it already is starting to show someone. Draken was like, Jason, you were always my favorite.
Oh God, yeah. Which is more sinister, knowing what we know from New Dawn. It's like, ooh.
So it's, yeah, I'm excited to see where things go. I think that Ryan did a very good job at giving us a strong landing point for the two new series. And we kind of have like the thesis, and now I'm excited to see what happens.
So obviously, if you're reading the comics, right now, Mighty Morphin 1 and Power Rangers number 1 do play off each other strongly. I believe issues 2 will do the same. Mighty Morphin 2 and Power Rangers 2 will also kind of play off one another. But my understanding is from that point on, they are separate series. They may touch and interact, and they may be dealing with the same threats from different vantage points. But by and large, you could separate those series at that point. So if one is more exciting to you than the other, by all means, stick with the one you like more. But I'm definitely excited to see where both of these are going. And like you said, this is a very good start. It does fascinate me because I feel like the Omega Ranger team has kind of become the X-Force of Power Rangers. they work in a moral gray area. They kind of, you know, they don't get to be the good shining knights. They kind of have to do things that maybe aren't great. And you know, from leaked covers for issue 5, we know they're gonna interact with stuff that is from further down the line. We won't spoil, obviously, but it's very exciting. I'm excited to see what Ryan has got for us with these Rangers and kind of seeing how the Omega Rangers affect the Power Rangers world. Because, you know, this is all new.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, and this will be my last point before I'm done. I know Ryan and I know him, that he, like, plans out these things very far in advance. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to be insane is when we eventually get the fallout between the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the Omega Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's going to be consequences for that. They know that, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I'll be curious, kind of. So, I mean, the thing we have to look forward to, and, I, you know, not to go into a whole discussion, but, you know, there will eventually, down the line, have to be some kind of reconciliation that they leave off on, because we know at some point in the future, once the Zeo powers come into play, Jason does it, or Tommy does eventually trust Jason enough to bring him back as the Gold Ranger. So, you know, I'd be curious to see, you know, in 2 years or 3 years or longer, you know, kind of to see eventually what the ending point is for all these, that kind of lets us leave off and be able to go into Zeo as we know it.
Yeah.
But that being said, if you're not reading these, pick these up, go to your local comic shop. You know, just to give a heads up, these are selling really well, so there will be a second print run for both Mighty Morphin number 1 and Power Rangers number 1. And they'll be getting two different covers. One will be a concept art cover with Dan Mora art of him designing both the Young Zordon for Mighty Morphin number 1 and the Imperials for Power Rangers number 1. And also, there's going to be a connecting cover by an artist called Franny for both Mighty Morphin number 1 and Power Rangers number 1. So if you didn't maybe get a first run, there are second runs that are going to be done, because these are selling very well. And for the future as well, Mighty Morphin number 2 will be coming out on December 9th, and Power Rangers number 2 will be coming out on December 16th. So head to your local comic shop, you know, support local businesses, tell them you want this on a pull list. Most of them will give discounts, you know. Pick up some trades if you haven't been reading the other series, you know. Help out local comic book stores. But, kind of moving on to the next topic, Kevin's most anticipated thing for 2021. The Power Rangers deck building game. The pre-order is officially live.
Yes.
The question is, though, have you pre-ordered, Kevin?
You know, by the time they listen to this episode, they're gonna think I have. And I have, as of this episode airing, as of recording, I have not. It's been a long week, okay? It's been a long, long week.
I know. But
it's on my list to do this weekend, though. So
good. And you know, for people who are interested you know. This is a kind of start of a launch within Renegade Games of deck building games. They're going to be doing these for pretty much, I believe, all the Hasbro properties. But Power Rangers is just going to be the first. You know, both Kevin and I got to demo this. You know, we've talked about it in previous episodes. It is very fun. It's a 1v1, you know, 2v2, that kind of game that you can play. And for the pre-order campaign, if you get in early, you'll actually get the ability to play as the White Ranger. Along with two other like, combat cards that can be put into the decks so that you can draw those out. And also it's going to have like the Zord hanger, like there's going to be an upgraded version of it that you get as well. And so if you're interested, make sure you get your pre-order in. They will be going through December 8th, so you've got a couple weeks. Definitely don't wait till the last minute. Like a co-host I could name.
You know, you... You can throw the shade, but at least I did it.
Yes, eventually, you got there. You got there. If you're willing to know the date for these to be arrival and to be shipped is going to be, they're saying March 2021, but there's always a chance it could be April 2021. You know, tumultuous time we live in right now, COVID-19. Yep. Who knows what could happen? You know, if you pre-order this, you're looking at a March, April of next year. When they'll finally release and ship.
Yep, and of course it does retail for a base MSRP of $45. Some fans have been ordering those already. I'm sure this is probably similar for yours, Joel. It was about $60, $62 after shipping and tax for most people. So,
Yeah, really, like compared to like Heroes of the Grid, like, obviously talking about two different things, but if you've bought in that much, I feel like a deck building game for $50 or $60 really isn't that bad.
Oh yeah, no, this is about average of most deck builders that I've seen. And given the extra stuff that's in there,
Oh yeah, like
it's a good value.
don't miss out. Definitely don't miss out on this if
Yeah.
you're interested in,
Yep.
or just need a new board game.
Yeah.
So moving along, Legacy Wars.
Yes.
We were ragging on them that they didn't have any Alien Rangers, and boy, were they like, well, here you go. Delphine, the white Alien Ranger, will be joining Legacy Wars, or has already been added as of this recording. So if you're playing Legacy Wars, definitely check that out and try to get you some shards for her. Did you see the video of her moveset?
I did, yeah. I thought it was really cool that they gave her like those aqua-based abilities.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a little bit of a bummer because I was like, so you and I had talked about this, obviously when we found out, I was like, oh, it's Tsuruhime from Kakuranger. And you're like, don't do Delphine like that. But I'm like, I wish they would have involved just like maybe one attack that was like a reference to the Sentai counterpart.
Yeah.
I, even if it's just the gigantic crane, because I find
Yeah.
that to be the funniest attack.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, like, they used the cranes in Super Mega Force in the Extended Battle Legendary
Oh
Edition.
yeah.
So it's canon that the White Alien Ranger has paper cranes as a power. And also canon that the Green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm can use baseballs as part of his powers. But it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. We won't go on a Super Mega Force diatribe. Yeah, it's kind of, I'm curious what the development for that was. I do think her attacks are a little, and they don't feel as flashy as some of the other characters that they've introduced. But I'm happy she's there, because I believe right now the only team that doesn't have any kind of representation within Legacy Wars is Operation Overdrive. And I feel like that's not something they're unaware of. I feel like they have to know. I'd be curious which one they go with.
Yeah, I would. My guess would probably be Mac or Sentinel Knight. I could see that.
I could see Mercury Ranger, honestly, because he's got such a good design.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, between like, because even when I watched Bokinger, I really liked his little sirens on his like sleeves. Like, just a very good look. Like that, say what you will about what Operation Overdrive did. Like, those suits are really great looking. It's just,
Oh, yeah.
maybe the execution was a little. Also, they've got one of the best morphers, I think, because the like sliding of it is so
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to play with when I had that toy.
God, yeah, good. Just like what they were able to do with morphs, like I always thought that was a great one. But again, not to go on a whole thing about Operation Overdrive. But if you're playing Legacy Wars, definitely check this out. Add Delphine to your team. She seems really cool and really fun to play with. I'm bad with Legacy Wars, so I try to stay away.
Yeah, it's fun to watch from afar.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully, like we always say, maybe this will go into Battle for the Grid, because I'd be curious to have like a what a fully realized like Alien Ranger with her swords and stuff, in
Yeah.
game would be like in that as well.
Yeah, it would be fun.
Definitely. So Lightning Collection news. We don't have any leaks though. Amazingly.
They've been tightening up the ship.
Yes, for now. Once we
For
get
now.
past this holiday season, somebody will find something. But the Spectrum boxes for Wave 7 are popping up in Targets. So it doesn't look like they're showing up in a system yet. But if you're going toy hunting, you may just have to go look and see, and maybe hopefully stumble upon these. For those who aren't aware, the Spectrum boxes are a kind of new initiative that Hasbro's trying out, where they're like holographic black boxes instead of the standard like white with the color accents that the Lightning Collection have. They're nice looking. I don't necessarily know that this was the wave that they needed to introduce them on.
Right.
I just, Dino Thunder Red and AZ Putty are kind of the two that I'm like, that's a choice. But I guess Green Ranger and White Ranger would be kind of the incentive of these.
Well, and I think they're also testing the waters for like re-releases, like especially for those figures that are hard to find.
Yeah, because I could see doing like a Mighty Morphin wave of these, where it's just like a Spectrum box is like one in, so many, or like that's just something that Target specifically gets. But I'd be curious, like going forward, if they keep with this initiative. I mean, it's also not surprising that the Wave 7 toys are popping up, because we're, about a month out from like when Pulse has said they might have them. So, usually retailers get these things about a month early before Pulse will ship out. So, kind of keep an eye out for that. If you're toy hunting, if you didn't pre-order them already, or if you're just interested in the Spectrum line, definitely check out your local Target, see if they've gotten them in. In other kind of collectible news, these had been discovered previously, but the PCS collectible line of statues are making them for Goldar, Rita, and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Black Ranger. We had seen Goldar in like a couple of photos, and we've seen a concept mock-up for what Rita's statue will look like. And we've not seen anything for Mighty Morphin Black yet. But this is from the line of like statues that we've had previously. Right now, I think we have like a Draken, White Ranger, Green Ranger, Red Ranger, and it's them on the power coin. And this is also the company that makes those like super expensive ones as well, like the $500 and $1,000 one. They're very good statues, and that Goldar one specifically. Whew, it's very good looking. Like I'm not gonna lie, looking at it, I was like, I'm never interested in these, but I'm kind of tempted, and I want to see what the Rita one looks like when they finally finish the sculpt and get it painted. I kind of be curious what hers looks like. Also, I want to see how they pose the Black Ranger, because I don't need it, but that's not to say it will. I'm not intrigued enough, especially because I mean, with the Black Ranger being added into this, we're now like three away from having all the Mighty Morphin Rangers out in the wild.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, which like the only thing I'm surprised about is like that we went outside of Tommy and Red Rangers. It's kind of the thing I'm surprised about. With Goldar and Rita, that's a shock because I wouldn't have thought those would get a statue. Because that's typically, as we've said before, just based off what Saban did when they had the license. Because I think a lot of these statues actually started under Saban. Normally we wouldn't have gotten these characters represented. So it's kind of nice. They retail for about $50. Hasbro Pulse actually has them up for pre-order on their website. And the anticipated release date is the end of April of next year. So definitely check them out. I am, like I said, I'm not sold 100% yet, but I can be convinced.
Oh, I can't say anything, so.
Yeah, I mean, it just like I said, it'll all kind of hinge on that Black Ranger statue. If it's a good sculpt, I could even see my husband being like, "No, we're getting that." Well, because and I know my GameStop has had the Red Ranger for a while, and if that ever went on sale, I'm not gonna lie, I would be tempted.
It's been on sale a few times, I think, but not a deep discount, like maybe like $10 or $15 off. I've seen them do that.
Yeah, but I mean, for like a statue, I feel like $50 is even pretty decent compared to like some of the ones for like some of the comic book ones that go, or even like the other ones in this line from this company that'll go up into the $500, $1,000 line. That I'm always like, that's a bit much. I could get a suit and be a Power Ranger myself at that point. But I think $50 isn't too bad. But with that said, that's kind of it for news and kind of reviews for this week. Anything else you want to talk about, Kevin?
Support the comic books, the card games, back everything. It's a good time to be a Power Ranger fan. I've said it last episode, and I'll say it again. We're gonna have fun. Stay safe as well, everybody. And yeah, just stay safe.
definitely, especially with us getting into the holidays. If you live in the US, COVID cases are getting worse, not better. Please make sure to socially distance, wear a mask, avoid large crowds where you can, because they know the big things that's going to be going on right now is shopping. If you can do it online, and support local businesses with that, or even doing like a, curbside pickup, try and do where you can. But as always, if you want to contact us, you can reach out to us on Twitter at May the Power Pod. Or if you want to drop us a line, tell us how amazing we are, or tell us how terrible we are, or give us comments, suggestions, topic ideas, or if you want to come on as a guest, send us an email at maythepowerpod@gmail.com. If you want to find me online, you can find me on most social media at Thespis Punk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
Bridge MT3.
Yes. Hear those hot takes. Listen to us talk about fandom. It's so good. It's wonderful. Everything is fine.
was.
That'll wrap up our show for today. And as always, may
May
the
the power
power protect
protect
you.
you.